Hey there, Escape Chats listener. This is Alan. A little audio snafu with the first half of this episode. Magellan recorded his audio on the wrong mic, so his audio quality is pretty significantly worse than usual. It is definitely still listenable. There's just a lower kind of fidelity, and there's like a popping noise every once in a while that I try to edit out entirely, but it's not the worst thing in the world. And we did fix it in the second half of the discussion where we talk about the good episodes, so you could argue that we used the wrong mic for the bad episodes and the right mic for the good ones. Whether or not that was intentional is up in the air. I'm going to tell you it was not intentional, but it's fun to pretend. So that's just something to keep in mind for the first half. I will put a timestamp as to when we switch to the second half in case you hate listening to it and you want to get to the better sounding audio. And I'm going to be recording them way back on my mic anyways, so that won't happen again. We just wanted to get this episode out the door instead of re-recording the whole first half, because like we said, it's just us talking about bad episodes. But we're going to be doing more episodes soon, and stay tuned and enjoy this episode of Escape Chats. Welcome to Escape Chats. This is episode 48. I'm Alan, and I'm joined by my co-host, my completely, utterly regular co-host, Magellan.
Hey, what a long, strange trip it's been.
We've made it. We've truly gotten to this place that we've been trying to get to for over a year now. It's the Escape Chats Season 4 recap. If people have listened to this before and have listened to recaps before, you know that the way that we do this is we start by reading out our attempt at summarizing the entire season in one paragraph. From there, we're going to go down the list and we're going to basically break down every episode very briefly and categorize them in terms of what we thought about them, whether we liked them, disliked them, or just recommend them to people in general. And then finally, we're going to do some predictions. And since there's only one more thing that is like a canonical show after this, it's what it's going to be is we're going to predict the miniseries Farscape the Peacekeeper Wars. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. So to start, I forget who read the plot last time. We probably could have checked that before this. but I feel like I could read it. I can give it a cool reading.
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. This is season 4 of Farscape. John rejoins the crew with Sokozu. Jewel leaves. A trip back to 1986 brings the crew to Earth. Humans learn about aliens there. The crew leaves because humans suck. Erin gets kidnapped by Skarrans who want her baby. The crew mounts a rescue mission, blow up the base, and then they beat the Skarrans in a race back to Earth where John prevents himself from ever going home again. With time to breathe, finally, he proposes marriage to Erin before they are swiftly killed by an alien. Farscape.
Yeah.
We did it. What a show. I loved writing that ending, by the way. Just it hangs just the way that the moment in the show does. You're like, mm-hmm. And then what? No, nothing?
Oh.
We've had a lot of time to process it, which makes me happy, just in general.
And, yeah, it's been a long time since we recorded our last episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's been
verging on like a month, right?
A month, yeah. I mean, let's just put it this way. Last time we recorded an episode, we were still convinced that Donald Trump would never become our president.
That was like a funny joke. That was like a good goof to make when we recorded 47. But here we are. This is the world we're in. I've recorded a Moya bag since then, mm-hmm. but that doesn't really count. I know what you mean. We're in a weird world now, and we go to things like Farscape to escape, even though the show, especially in this season, was pretty damn sad. So,
well, I don't want to get on a soapbox, but we haven't really gotten on any sort of soapbox, but I think it's important that, like, now more than ever, we recognize that TV is an escape, but it's also, like, this show was written to give people some kind of a framework with which to look at society.
Definitely.
You know, and to sort of accept otherness and embrace, like, other cultures and being sort of a tolerant and, like, diplomatic person, a person devoted to intellectual progress and good sense and love. And it's like, yeah, you know, we need this sort of show right now.
Yeah, more than ever.
Yeah.
And John, as a moral compass, has been really nice to have, just like, hey, this is this character who kind of is getting it. And his interactions with his family on Earth really highlight how, like, painfully accurate a lot of the depictions of Earth in the show still are. Like, I don't think that the whole which country is going to get to be on Moya stuff wouldn't happen today. That would totally happen today.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've advanced so much since then, it also just feels like we're going nowhere. And like you said, with the current state of things, it really feels like we might even just be going back. So with that in mind, we have to look back briefly, and we're going to break down these episodes categorically.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very chill and very sharp and tight and beautiful, just like the show. Majan, do you want to start with which category?
Probably just, like, the lowlights. Let's just clean them out. Get them out of the way.
Those nasty ones.
Yeah, those nasty ones.
I'll kick it off. I want to talk about season 4, episode 8. It's I Shrink, Therefore I Am. It's the episode where a bunch of them get shrunk and, like, get put into an alien's, like, head. And then John has to, like, get them out, and there's, like, grays of stuff. This is totally one of those, like, wow, really, Farscape? Like, we're just going to do another one of these, like, weird on Moya episodes with an annoying bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically you talking about, like, man, this, like, default state of the show is always good things were going to happen on the ship, and then an outside force came and ruined everything. And that's, like, that's totally I Shrink. It's kind of, like, become, it was their bread and butter by the end of the show, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's an example of that trope where it's so campy that it's kind of fun. Like, this episode does have that, the Rigel speech of, like, who cares? Like, just accept it. There's weird stuff that's going to happen, and it's fine. And that's a fun moment, but, like, yeah, it's a stupid episode.
It's ultimately just going to be the one where they shrunk some of the crew and put them in the aliens. That's all it is.
And it's really, I think, telling of, like, I think the way in which season 4 episodes were bad sometimes speaks volumes about, like, where the show was at and kind of, like, how it seemed like at times they were spinning their wheels a bit, or at least a bit more than past seasons. Because I think, like, season 3, for example, when an episode was bad, it was bad because it's, like, really down in the dumps, or, like, kind of melodramatic, or just, like, bizarre.
Right.
But in this season, it felt like the bad episodes were sort of, like, weird in a self-aware kind of way that just wasn't good. It's hard to pin down, but there's a subtle kind of distinction, I think.
For sure, yeah.
That kind of leads me to, unless we have more to say about I Shrink.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, no. That point sort of leads me into talking about my lowlight, and honestly, the worst episode of this season, and quite possibly my least favorite episode of the whole fucking show, frailing show, which is Kubai Clam. It's just the worst.
That's a stinker if I've ever seen one.
When we watched it, I, like, had my whole screed, but really, it was just, like, and it just, whoever wrote the episode just didn't really get how you write a Farscape episode. Because it just felt like they were kind of checking the boxes of, what are some Farscape-y things? Oh, you gotta have a really weird villain who is just odd for the sake of being odd, and the science has to be really arbitrary, and there has to be a lot of jargon, and everybody has to be really sarcastic, and, like, the main dude's got to put on a dress at some point. And that's for, like, I did it. I wrote a Farscape episode. Isn't this amazing? No.
No.
It's not.
It's, like, a lot. That, like, dressing as a girl stuff is, like, borderline really, really offensive. The stuff it has to say about, like, women-run societies and coups in general is like the laziest 101 college like feminism nonsense, just like failure to make a point about that stuff. Mm-hmm. The character with all of the clams that gives into them definitely like you pointed out during the episode felt like some sort of weird Jewish like stereotype. And then just ultimately the mechanics of the titular clams are stupid. It's just like, oh, you gotta eat the right color of clams and like touch each other just so we have a joke about like Naranthi has an orgasm.
Yeah,
there's so much stacked on nonsense in this episode. There was definitely an early going of season four that was just like stinker after stinker, because this is 4:10 and 4:09 was the one I was one we just talked about, so it's like they were kind of bowling like 0 for 4
there's
for
like
a little
that,
while.
That kind of middle chunk of episodes that's just no good.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the arc of this season is it starts off kind of like, I'm not sure what to make of this. Beginning of the season jitters. We're getting back into things. And then there's a couple episodes that are kind of fun and really different. And then there's just a chunk of bad ones, and then it gets good.
Yeah,
gets like good.
Related to stuff that was just bad for a while, continuing the streak of bad episodes, season 4, episode 9, A Prefect Murder, is my other low light. This is such an interesting episode to me. I actually considered putting it in Dark Horse, but the stuff that I added for Dark Horse is definitely more discussion worthy. A Prefect Murder is just a mishmash of ideas that don't coalesce, and it's a weirdly confusing episode. We're on a planet and everyone's got like Princess Leia hair. Honestly, the only thing I retained from this episode was the scene at the end where one of the elders tells Chiana, like, hey, if you keep using your premonition powers, you're gonna lose your eyes, you know, you dumb Twizzit or whatever he calls her. And he looks like Yoda or something. This is just a classic example of, like, Farscape doesn't always handle on-planet episodes that well. Sometimes it just has nothing to do and wants to do 10 different plots.
Yeah, it's sort of a corollary to Eye Shrink, where you're going to get two flavors of Farscape episodes that aren't quite doing what you want them to do. One of them is an episode where you're on the ship and everything's fine, and then there's, like, a new character who's weird and they're the villain. Or you're going to get, you're on a planet and you spend a lot of time learning about the rules of the society on the planet, and then there's like some sort of coup or plot to overthrow somebody that doesn't really have to do with the Moya characters at all.
But they have to get themselves involved because the show is about them, and it's like they fit in there really awkwardly. Mm-hmm. I remember us talking about this episode and how like it feels weird that Team Moya gets to involve themselves in local planet politics. And it's like, who made you people the boss of things? Like, why do you guys get to make the decisions here? That stuff always seemed weird to me. But, Aaron's weird in this episode. She, like, thinks she kills a bunch of people. Ugh, just a stinker. Yeah. Poo-poo.
And, yeah, so those first three episodes, right in a row, right in the middle of that season. And I don't want it to sound like we hated season four by starting with the negative. I think we're just starting with the negative so that we can reach a nice kind of positive conclusion.
Right.
Because I think that we really did like season four, and I want to talk like general season thoughts later, but I don't want people to be, you know, 10 minutes into this and like, ugh, these guys are just going to complain the whole time.
Promise you we're not, folks. We have a lot of good things to say.
We're lovers, not fighters. We're lovers. Okay. Let's see. My second low light of my two low lights is season 4, episode 14, Twice Shy. Alan, what is Twice Shy about?
Oh, God. He says as he types rapidly. I feel like, isn't this like a Dargo one or something? Oh, my God. Chiana convinces the imprisoned woman to stay on Moya. They discover... Oh, my God. It's the spider one. Oh, yeah. The, like, dumb spider one where we were like, damn, seriously, Farscape? We're still doing, like, there's a spider on the ship, but she's a girl.
Oh, the one where the girl turns in and, like, eats people or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a forgettable episode.
That's all we need to say. This episode was comical for me because it's season episode four, episode 14. And it's like, wow, we're here? Like, I thought we were past the bad stuff. What are we doing? Why? Yeah. Why?
Well, because we're right smack between, like, just had Terra Firma. Amazing.
Yeah.
Here we go. And then the next episode, we're going to rank all these, but the next episode, not the best, not the worst, Mental as Anything. We get a lot of Dargo stuff, but this is just sandwiched in there. I'm like, we take on a girl who turns into a spider and tries to kill us. Okay, cool.
And she, don't forget, man, her power is that she takes away their best qualities. She takes away their character traits.
Right.
So this is like,
come on, I want a little more out of episode 14, please. Thank you.
It's definitely one of those, and Mental as Anything, same thing, is like, if y'all were earlier, or if you knew that you were getting another season, then this would have made a little bit more sense. But like, it's embarrassing to remember Twice Shy being in what is mostly a pretty good season, that is season 4. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it was nice to be like, the final bug episode, because we kind of practically turned it into a joke.
That's true.
The Farscape bug on the ship episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
So as a final hurrah for one of those, it's not terrible. But that premise is terrible and way overused.
I think for one of those, it is terrible. But yeah.
You think there are better bug episodes?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, folks, hit us up in the comments with your favorite bug episodes of Farscape or the top 5. I want to hear
it. Honestly, my favorite is probably the very first one, Exodus from Genesis.
Oh, yeah. That's like the second one or something, right? Yeah.
Second one we saw, yeah.
Right, because season one's weird. Yeah. Yeah, but we're not going to talk about those right now. We're not going to rank those. We ain't got time for that. We got to move on.
That'll be the next episode.
Yes. What do we do? Are we doing Decents next or Dark Horses?
Let's do Dark Horses.
Dark Horses. So I love Katy Perry.
The Dark Horse coming at you like a dark horse. The Dark Horse category is basically one person thought this was bad episode, and the other person was like, actually, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's sort
controversial.
Of the deal. Yeah. Controversial. Good word. Controversial.
It's a good word. It's four syllables. The first Dark Horse episode is Mental as Anything, which we already mentioned. It's season 4, episode 15. It's the one that I made a point to not mention in the summary. Also, I was going to say, before we finish talking about the lowlights, that the joke of our plot summary is that all of the bad episodes lie between the phrase Jewel leaves and A Trip Back to 1986 Brings the Crew to Earth. There's like 6 episodes between those two lines that I didn't need to mention. And Mental as Anything, I also wrote in the original draft of our summary, and then I was like, no, we don't need to know that John, Dargo, and Pilot and Scorpius go to this dude who looks like he's constantly winking. Peter Frampton!
Yep.
It's Peter Frampton!
Peter Frampton.
Why do we call him? Oh, because the actor's name is John Brumpton, but the character's name is Macton. Wow. Really just, I love getting to the origins of our dumb jokes. Acclaimed artist Peter Frampton, rest in peace, is training our boys in mental fortitude, and they play like they play mental ping pong, and really the A plot is dumb, but what we learn through that A plot is that Dargo's backstory contains a lot more stuff than we thought it did, and isn't so clean cut as it originally seemed. Because the man that got him exiled, Katoya is the trainer, played by John Brumpton, aka Peter Frampton. Mm-hmm. Macton Tal is the, yeah, okay, good. We got names right. Yeah, he sees Macton on there, and then they talk about the whole, like, what happened and why you got kicked off of the Luxon real world. And it's pretty dark. It's like one of the darkest episodes of Farscape.
Yeah, it is, because we learn a horrible, scary secret about one of our favorite boys, that he probably was abusive to his wife.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is, that's tough, but it's pretty cool, complex character background at some level. So
it's my only problem with this one, the reason that I kind of didn't want to like universally just like it, is A, the main like mental fortitude stuff is very silly and dumb, but also they make the cardinal mistake of letting Dargo get off scot-free and making him seem like a really cool good guy at the end.
Yeah.
Which didn't seem like what they were leading up to with the rest of the episode, so I was kind of bummed by that. And it felt like a little bit of a betrayal of a show that so often is confident to give its characters dimension, whether it's for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. My dark horses are actually, I'm just going to say them at the same time, because they're the two parts of the What Was Lost duology. What Was Lost Sacrifice and What Was Lost Resurrection, which are episodes 2 and 3 of the season. And these are the ones where John essentially reunites with most of the rest of the crew, and they're fine episodes. There's nothing particularly egregious about them. You could make an argument that they're not good, and that some of the troublesome things that happen cast a pall over other episodes of the season. So, for example, Graza sexually assaulting, raping John. It's not necessarily handled particularly well at first, but I think they get to a point where they resolve that plot in a way that feels okay, in terms of like moral justice.
So right, and I think Graza's character has fleshed out more to the point where that stuff is described, and John's sort of trauma from it is definitely highlighted. And honestly, in ways that are a lot better than when it's done towards women. I feel like it's actually handled better than a lot of those kind of things, but it's still just like the bad thing that happened to John this season.
You know? Yeah, I think the main thing that you can hold against this episode is the Graza stuff, the introduction of Graza and how she's just not... Or I guess she wasn't introduced here. Was she? No, she was introduced end of season 3, right?
Correct.
Yeah. The reintroduction of Graza is happening here, and she never really becomes a character that I enjoy. So that's sort of the negative. But the positive, and the reason why I claim this as a dark horse, as something that I kind of hold up as being fun, is that these episodes do service the character of Jewel really well, and give her some kind of resolution, even if it feels a little too soon. And it also lets the ladies be badass for a brief shining moment, in a fun way. So yeah, this duology I got a decent amount of enjoyment out of, so that qualifies it as a dark horse.
Definitely. And I liked Jewel a lot, and I agree that she was gone too early. I think from a production standpoint, they'd probably got rid of her just because there's two redheaded women on the ship, and that's confusing for viewers.
Well, I think she got a job on a soap opera or something.
Right. I think a bunch of things aligned at the right time and place for that to work. And the actress seems to have done very well for herself since then, but you know, Jewel as a scholar was always my favorite version of Jewel, and as an interested intellectual, and not as the sort of like ditzy character that she was painted as early on.
Definitely.
So seeing her leave the crew in like your cool JRPG nerdy protagonist character, or side character is like, I'm going to go and study with these people forever. It's like that exact moment, but for her, and she gets to have that moment, and it's really satisfying. But you know, I also just like the archaeology aspect of this episode. I don't think this show explores the past of its show enough, of its world, I mean.
Yeah.
So that stuff was handled pretty well, but then not really brought up much later. It's just kind of like, oh, there's some like weird ancient stuff, and we kind of thought that it was going to become the whole thing about the show, but then it didn't. Mm-hmm. Which is for, you know, that's probably for the better, just because
when you pull
a BSG and you start to drown yourself in your backstory, it can get really daunting.
That's the danger of doing sort of big lore or backstory moments, is that there's the chance that you're going to answer a question that somebody has, and you're going to make it feel cool and make it feel like it fits, but also there's perhaps an even greater chance that you're going to do something that just creates more questions for people in an unproductive way. Like, it creates questions that the show doesn't actually have any interest in answering. And that's kind of what took place here.
Exactly. And then finally, my last dark horse was Natural Election, which is definitely like the definition of a dark horse, because this episode has some good aspects, like Dargo getting to become the sort of boss of the ship. But it also features the like weird dead pilot or something. There's a lot of nonsense in this episode. Is this the one with all the different characters? I always get this wrong. I always forget which one I'm thinking of. Every episode's the one with the weird characters. The one with like the nice Scarin and the bad peacekeeper and the intersex Nabari. Nope, not that one.
That was like last season, I think.
Why do I always, that episode fascinates me, and I always am thinking about it. So I think that's where that's coming from. No, natural election is the, like, oh, dude, no, this is the one with, like, the plant. And it's, oh, like, there's a plant that's, like, dissolving metal. But, well, the reason,
yeah, okay. And then it, like, eats into Pilot or something.
Yeah, and we're keeping all of this. I want people to hear these deliberations. Yeah. It eats into Pilot, and then Pilot's like, blah, 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 that's crazy. And then, so that's, like, dumb, because it's just like, oh, we had it again. A nasty thing is on Moya. But we also get lots of, like, lots and lots and lots of good Whedon test stuff where different characters are talking to each other as they're trying to figure out the plant problem. And everyone learns about Eren's pregnancy. Everyone learns.
Oh, right. Yeah. That is a fun aspect of it. I forgot all about that.
Right. Exactly. And you know, everyone gets some good moments, like, just in general. I can't really recall any in particular, but there's definitely the good, like, Qiyana talking to Dargo and clearly acknowledging their past together before revealing to him that Eren's pregnant, and then he's talking to John about it, and just kind of all of that, like, who can share what with whom in this show, mm-hmm. is, like, pretty rich storytelling potential,
true.
I think.
That's true.
Moving right along, I think our final category before the break should be the decent category.
Yeah.
Right down the middle. These episodes are fine. They're, like, not bad. They're not good, though.
Yeah, so now, the reason we kind of do these categories, on the one hand, is to recap how we felt, but on the other hand, I think it's to, when we get to our essential episodes at the end, those are the ones that you have to watch no matter what. Like, it's the point of Farscape is to watch these episodes. Then you have the highlights, which are perhaps contributing big story or character moments that serve those essential episodes, or they're just, like, bizarre in a way that's really beautiful. And then you have the decents, where it's like, oh, you're somebody who wants to watch Farscape and has a little more time on your hands, but still doesn't want to watch terrible episodes. Go ahead, watch these. That's sort of the rationale.
Yeah, they're worth watching if you're really committed, basically. Mizone, do you want to start on this one?
I'd love to start on this one. My first decent episode is Season 4, Episode 1, Crichton Kicks, first episode of the season. It's fine. It's not a bad premiere at all. I'd love to actually think about, for a second, like, how do the four first episodes rank?
What would you say the first four episodes are? Crichton Kicks, then the two, What Was Lost, and then what's the fourth one?
No. The first four, the first season, the season premieres, comparing the season premieres.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Because you have premiere.
Yeah, which is solid.
You have the one where Eren is yelling at Dargo and Crichton.
Yeah.
And Dargo has tan skin.
Yeah.
And then you have the one where they're, like, on the planet with the diagnosis, and the peacekeepers come in, and
all right,
Scorpius can control, like, Drooly What's-His-Face with his mind.
Drooly What's-His-Face!
So, yeah.
Number three, season three is the best one. Death.
Yeah, I agree. I think season three is the best one.
It's probably 3-2-1. No, four is not the worst one. Huh, maybe it's 3-4-1-2.
I think it's 3-1-4-2.
Yeah. It's depending mostly on what you think about one versus two, but I think one still has that, like, amazing sense of wonder. And I'm going to put this in the series recap along with the other listener audio contributions that we've gotten, but I recorded, this is like a little fun fact about me, I record an audio diary every night before I go to bed about my life, just to kind of, like, expound on thoughts and kind of, like, suss my brain juice out, if you will. Just, like, separate the wheat from the chaff. And I recently unearthed the one that I did after we watched the first episode of Farscape. Mm-hmm. And there is definitely, like, a really charming, like, almost childlike wonder about listening to my opinions, where I'm just like, oh, and this is really interesting, and, like, what are they trying to say about Earth and humanity and, like, language and community? Mm-hmm. Like, it was all there, you know?
Yeah.
But, so I'm definitely going to put that, or at least a clip of that, in the recap, but it's cool. Just for people to get excited about. But Season of Death, yeah, it's okay. We get to meet Sokozu, and that was really cool. We get to see the idea of, like, Scarin territories, which is super interesting, because we often just think about, like, the bad guys are the bad guys, and not the bad guys are themselves and the sort of satellite planets that they control.
Yeah. Some cool action with Qiyana's, her, like, slow down time power.
Yeah, and she recognizes the pipes, and then they shoot the pipes and, like, knock out the weird European pirates.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's a fun one. It's worth watching just to kind of, like, be, oh, it's in widescreen now. Very cool. Let's look at this.
Right, and John's got a big beard that he shaves in, like, 10 minutes for some reason.
Looks like a chia pet. Very cool.
He's got a full chia pet. Yeah, it's a cool, it's just great to like get a whole first episode where we don't have the crew together, and then we get 2 and 3 and we still don't really have the crew together. Like, the show makes a point to reassemble everyone and not just do it in 2 seconds like I feel like it had done in previous season premieres.
True.
But that's that episode. Smesmisode. Shmlepodode. What's the next decent? Oh, it's We're So Screwed Fetal Attraction. I love the We're So Screwed titles. I think they're really silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm spending time digging and digging trying to find this episode, what it was. Oh no, dude, this is like the bad one. This is not a good episode. This is the first part of a really great trilogy. I think that's why I considered it a decent. Also, it was great to get a Naranti episode, kind of.
I was just like,
oh, Naranti gets something finally, right?
Yeah, I don't really care about Naranti.
Oh man,
she's fine. I just don't. I never cared.
They didn't really give you a lot of reason to care.
Yeah.
This is the episode where they're on the not yet Katratzi, and it's like a weird commerce planet. And let's see, there's Sokozu, lying to some people. This is not the one where they start a coup. That's later. This is the one where they're like, oh, look, Rigel's got a virus. It's going to infect everyone. We all got to leave and go to Katratzi. Mm-hmm. It's kind of all that happens. That's the thing, is it feels like this show was constantly gasping for normalcy when it could never truly find a sense of what is normal in this world. Because this episode was their very last, truly last chance to not progress the plot. And they managed to do it. And I give them applause for that.
What do you mean by chance to not progress the plot?
Okay, so this episode is just about a small space station and a virus. That is a very like old like season one Farscape concept that they use to slightly progress on the Naranti stuff, but not really. And then just kind of like finally kick it into gear and go, all right, well, now we have to go to Katratzi. We have no more prep that we have to do. Like, it almost became a joke of like, can we just go? Like, they're not even, the fact that they're not even on Katratzi in this episode is inherently funny, because they make such a big point of like right before this, like, oh, we figured out where it is in the Constellation of Doubt, and now we're here, and it's not the actual place yet. Like, we're almost there.
No waiting.
Precisely. And I more was just trying to get to the point of, just like John and Aaron never seemed to find a sense of what was their, like, average day, because they never got to have an average day, this show never got to, like, spend too long in its normal, like, average times. In the second half, at least. I think early on, it definitely just spun its wheels for too long and suffered because of it. But it just felt like to me like the writers never wanted to, they don't always want to write plot episodes. Like, they want to write dumb, fun virus episodes sometimes. And other times they want to write, you know, John blows up a base episodes. So this was one of the last efforts.
Here's a question. If you had to name the most normal episode of Farscape, what would you say?
It's like the one where Dargo in season one is on the ship, and then there's like a female Luxon. He's like, ooh, she's hot. And she like attracts him, and then there's like her lackey boy, and they're all on the ship,
and
it's like
Back and Back to the Future.
It's pretty normal, it's pretty generic. What about you?
I don't really have an answer to that question. I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, is there kind of a Farscape episode which you can sort of gauge other ones off of? Like, is there a ground state for Farscape?
And that's kind of the point that I'm getting at, is it never really got to lock into a good, boring middle ground. Because either the episodes were like surprisingly bad in a season full of good, or they were good. Like, they're very often there aren't that many like which is weird because we're doing we do decent segments every season. Anyways, I'd be curious what people think. Is there like, what's the first episode when you think of Farscape that isn't good, but just like a decent, like, ah, we're on the ship and weird stuff's happening?
Yeah,
because I know there's a million of those. Know for a fact.
Cool. My second decent episode is season 4, episode 4, Lava's a Many Splendored Thing.
Yay.
This one's fun. It's funny.
Right. So they got the comedy back.
funny episode. It's clear that whoever wrote it watched Farscape because it feels very true to character, all the lines. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just a very funny episode, surprisingly so, given that it's kind of a silly plot.
It's a classic example of a good, like a pretty good off-planet episode. It's like, oh, we're on a lava planet and there's bad lava guys and you can wear like a lava protection thing, but it might break in the middle of the lava and you might burn, but we are all fine in the end of the day. But it's all right. I was in the lava pool. Do you think that the Farscape crew has a TV where they can watch Space Seinfeld? Yes, no.
For the sake of humanity, I'm going to say yes.
And John and Aaron like have favorite characters and they like talk about it all the time and it's great.
Oh yeah.
Moving on. Season 4, episode 12 is the next one. Mm-hmm. It's called Kansas. Mm-hmm. Kansas was a weird one to put in the decent category because I do think this episode is kind of great. But first of all, the categories are hard to pick. And really, if you ask me on a different day, I would tell you I didn't actually like Kansas that much because mm-hmm. this is the episode where John and the crew go back to 1986 and try to prevent John's dad from the being on the Challenger mission.
Yeah.
It feels like an episode of Quantum Leap in that way. Like, this episode feels like it's trying to like hit some weird, like,
yeah.
What if this show was about aliens going back in time? This could have been, this is like a whole new brand, like an unrealized reality of these characters is where they just do this stuff. But that's Quantum Leap. Like, that's what that show is. Right. Except they're not aliens.
Yeah, it does. That's actually a great point that it does. It doesn't feel like a native Farscape episode. I think when I watched it, it felt like, I don't remember what the show was called, but I used to watch Sci-Fi Channel in the afternoons when I'd get home from school. Sometimes. And there'd be a show where, like, they could travel back in time, but only 15 minutes or something. And it gave me the same feeling as that.
And, like, what can you change in 15 minutes? That kind of thing?
Basically. And so it always had to be, like, a small, easily changeable thing. And then I think they would, like, change it, and then it wouldn't quite work, and they'd change something else, and whatever. All that to say that Farscape is not a time travel show. And this episode was kind of odd. I mean, it was cool to see the world of the past on Earth and to get more insight into John's family life. And really, anything that has Earth is fun. All of the aliens were, the Moya crew were fun with their TV watching and their antics. But it just didn't quite feel right, the main plot of that episode.
Right, it's a catalyst for much more interesting things to happen in the next episode. In Terra Firma, and then later in A Constellation of Doubt. But right. This episode by itself is like, whatever. It's Back to the Future. It's Quantum Leap. It's the show you're thinking of. If anyone can think of that, by the way, I just tried Googling and came up with nothing. So that would make us very happy if you figured that out.
It was on Sci-Fi, and they could only
give them a year range. How about that?
Maybe it was like within an hour. We could go back within the last hour or something like that.
Do you know what year it was airing approximately?
Well, I want to say, like, I watched it maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Oh, okay, so it's recent enough.
Yeah.
It could be, like, Continuum or something. I don't know. Anyways, that's that. That's Kansas, if you will. And, John, what's your final decent episode?
My final decent episode is Season 4... Episode 16, Bringing Home the Beacon. Now, this one is actually a really good episode. And it's really, at this point, it was like one of the last ones I think we put in the decent category. And it's mostly because all of the ones above it in Highlight and Essentials are just really, really good.
Right.
But Bringing Home the Beacon is a legitimately fun girl power episode that we've been waiting for like 3-4 seasons at this point. And of course they had to undercut it in the last 10 minutes by making it about the dudes, but whatever. We'll set that aside and say that we got our girl power episode. So yeah, it's a really fun, kind of tense, exciting episode, and you also get to see Graeza engaging diplomatically with the Francesca Buller Scarin character, who looks awesome.
Yeah, oh absolutely.
Great costume makeup work there.
Is that Akna? No, Akna's the, the dude.
Yeah, Akna, I think.
Oh yeah, that's her, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that episode. I think it had a lot of just watchability to it, especially.
Definitely. And it, for me, I mean, just the reason I put it in decent, or I would agree that it should be in decent, is it took too long to get to an all-girls episode. The show had, from the research that I've started doing, a huge female audience, like just very popular amongst women, young women and sci-fi fans of all ages. But and it's like, y'all have really well-written women that are in other episodes. Like, just let them be, do their own thing. By the time they finally did, it was like, also one of them got kidnapped. Also, the end is about a boy. Also, but it builds. It also, I small minor thing that you mentioned that I also liked is that it's built. It built on the Peacekeeper Scarin conflict and some really interesting like political back and forth between Akna and Graeza. That was very cool and very much needed at this point in the show.
Totally.
All right, my final decent episode is season 4, episode 5, Promises. Is this the Aaron episode, dude?
It sure is, dude.
Oh, woofa duffa. This is a... Oh, no, this isn't the Aaron episode. That's Prayer. Promises and Prayer are not the same episode. Frel, season 3 is so good. Can we just watch season 3 again? What's Promises about?
It's the one where she's wearing the Scorpius suit.
Oh, no.
Like she's,
oh, yeah, literally
she's back alive.
Yeah, this episode. Yeah, no, this one's really sad. That's the reason I was like, ugh. And it brings up like ideas of romantic, like coming back to find your partner in like a different state than she was before, and this like the betrayal of seeing Scorpius and her telling John that he has to promise to not kill Scorpius. Like that's the titular promise.
Yeah.
It's a really melancholy episode for that reason, but there's like moments of niceness in it, you know, like everyone getting on the ship and John says, hey, bad stuff is happening. And then they all come out guns blazing. I, for some reason, really love the teamwork in that moment and the sort of camaraderie. And otherwise, I mean, there's plenty of stuff going on in the episode between John and Scorpius, which is always a fun time. I don't remember much else about it, though, unfortunately.
My big issue with this episode, and I enjoyed watching it in the moment, which I think is why it belongs here, but the reason it doesn't belong any higher is because, for me, this episode set the tone for all of season 4's interactions with Aaron's son, which basically puts the audience in a position of, do I trust her? I think there was a distance maintained between the audience and Aaron's son throughout the whole season that I really began to resent as the season went on.
That's a very good point. Because Aaron is such a character that we want to identify with and we want to love. Mm-hmm. And then to put her far away from us and say, she was an assassin at a point between seasons and she killed someone and all that stuff. That was actually what was happening in Promises, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
All of that stuff is like really it's definitely intentionally, but it's still a bummer either way, the way that it is distancing us from Aaron and making us feel like she could be doing, she could have done so much horrible stuff in the time off. But, you know, there's a good Harvey John moment in this episode. There's definitely a maturity to the way that they handle Aaron's coming back, and I think ultimately it is the most Farscape ass thing ever to go, it's the episode where Aaron comes back, and then it still like breaks my heart, the scene where John gets off the ship and he's like, babe, I'm back, like, oh my god, like just bouncing all happy and smiling, and she's just in a black leather suit on life support, barely keeping it together, and then passes out as soon as he tries to hug her and says, don't kill the guy who's been ruining your life for the last 3 years. Promise me you won't kill him. And you're like, what? What is this? It sets the tone in a really powerful way, and I like that about it. But I think that is the last decent episode. Magellan?
Yes, Alan?
I think it's time for us to take a quick Moy Bag break. Man, I miss saying that. Oh, yeah. It's a good feeling. Yay! And we'll be right back with the second half of our season 4 recap. Hello, Scape Chats listeners. This is Alan, bringing you the Moy Bag for episode 48 of Scape Chats. Such a big number. How have we made it this far? I have no idea what we've done in this whole time, other than watch an amazing show. This is the Moy Bag where I read your feedback. We're going to start with emails. We got two emails this week and an audio clip that we're going to be using in the series recap. The first email is from Dax Static.
Hey. I put a shot to your system.
Dax says, dang, it sucks Farscape had to end like this. If I had seen it when it aired and thought this was the absolute final ending, I would have gone apeshit on my TV. But it's all good now, years later, knowing that there's still the Peacekeeper Wars to look forward to. I still haven't seen that, but now that the rewatch is done, I'm finally gonna watch it. It's funny, I was just listening to the other Farscape podcast that you guys recommended, Farscape Fridays, right before I watched this episode, and they were talking about Crackers Don't Matter, and mentioned the part where everyone on Moya points out how good their vision is compared to John's, and how they could all read the tiny print on something easily while John couldn't even see it, let alone read it. Then in bad timing when John mentions how nobody can see the wormhole before it opens and Pilot just casually says, I can. I had to laugh at the callback to his bad human eyes. Very good continuity on the part of the writers. That's an awesome catch, actually. I did not pick up on that. The scene with John on the moon talking to his dad gave me all the feels. Probably like Bracca was feeling watching his true love Scorpius getting a lap dance from Sekozu. I'm sure he was dreaming up the best way to boil a bunny at that moment. I'm not sure if you interpreted that scene as Bracca being angry. I guess that's one read on it. I mean, it is, absolutely. But, I don't know. I don't think that Bracca was too mad to see Scorpius happy, even though it wasn't with him and in Scorpius's lap. Speaking of bunnies, oh, Harvey. I'm going to miss him. He was my favorite character of the series. It was great watching how he developed on this rewatch, knowing what to look for, from the evil, no-good-brain miner tormenting John's mind to the fun, Hawaiian shirt-wearing goof romping through John's memories of beach babes. I almost want to do a psychological paper on his development just for fun. I think the Harvey character was brilliant and wish he would magically start popping up in the heads of other characters in other shows. You know, I'm just picturing Dr. Fraser Crane with a Harvey in his head telling him to not be a good, complicated doctor. I've never watched Fraser before. I hear it's good. Oh well, so concludes this rewatch. At least now we get to finally watch Peacekeeper Wars. I can't wait to see what happens. That's actually really exciting that we have somebody else that's watching it for the first time with us. And as you'll hear in the second half of this episode, you get to do that in a really fun way, which I'm not going to spoil. The other email we got this week was from Brian, who said, I just listened to episode 32 where you read my email, so this is me proceeding as ordered and responding. I'm hoping to catch all the way up before you finish it off. I'm constantly surprised how well I remember the episodes as I hear y'all describe them. Cheers, Brian Graham. I don't remember, 32, it was a long time ago. But the name in the email profile picture looked familiar. So rock on, Brian. Thank you. And I hope you can catch up. A lot of people just like catching up on the show. I really wonder like how our show holds up when you like binge it the way, or binge our podcast. Because I feel like we've been improving significantly every week. So who knows if we suddenly got really good and then just stayed good or what. I don't really know the arc of our show that well. That was our emails over at scapechats@gmail.com. On Twitter, @scapechats, we got a series of tweets basically replacing her weekly memos from... and I'm just going to read these as they come in linear order. First is a note on bad timing. I didn't rewatch it. I didn't want to cry. I have nothing to say because I don't remember this one except for the last scenes and my screams of pain. I thought the whole pilot thing was earlier. And then here just comes like a big smattering of tweets. We see Harvey in Peacekeeper Wars in one of my favorite Harvey scenes. Also moon scene, holy Pharrell, I cried the first time. Also John isn't human anymore, he's not one of us. Holy shit, they said the exact same thing in New Who, which I think is Doctor Who thing. I can't find it, but it was basically a companion. Rose Tyler's mom saying that zipping around time and space would make her inhuman and immortal in a sense. Because she exists on so many different planes of existence at once and she'll never leave, time will never be linear. Of course, it's not like that for John, but again, with the you've gone so far out past where we could ever be, John got the boat for nostalgia purposes on Earth. Bam. Oh, I get that. That's good. And I don't know what they're referring to here. It isn't dust, it's crystals. Oh, that's when they're disintegrated at the end. Also, I agree with Magellan. If it weren't for the baby. Also, you predicted something. Very exciting. Peacekeeper Wars is what they call an open closure, a shock relief, a beginning to a new chapter that we don't see. Also, with how you're rationalizing this, you're not leaving anything for enjoyment of Peacekeeper Wars at all. but I also did that and it's okay, and I didn't hate Peacekeeper Wars. I think she's referring to the fact that we are rationalizing the finality of this, and that can kind of like mess up Peacekeeper Wars because that's supposed to be the finale. But I don't know. I obviously the series finale isn't the way they intended it to end, so they got to have another ending. And I'm excited to see how that ending works out. We were just trying to make positive sense out of something that so many people were outraged and depressed by, which is the series ending. Claudia Black's boyfriend, future husband, visited set on the day of the boat scene and didn't like it much. And frankly, I wouldn't either. Not just because she's like getting proposed to by her co-worker, but also I don't know how that scene is to watch in person. Like, what was that like for filming? But anyways, thank you, Omens. We appreciate everything from you. You're one of my favorite fans. Ooh, favoritism, just kidding. Everyone's great. You're all the best scuppies. finally, it's the Reddit thread, reddit.com/r/farscape. Johnny Fogg is just finishing watching season 4 and Peacekeeper Wars. These are actually like 2 weeks old, so a lot of these comments are kind of old just because we got them when we aired 47 and now it's been 2 whole weeks. This is a nice return to form. The tone of the season varied a lot from pulp adventure to avant-garde to Manichaean, referring to prayer, to operatic, like in We're So Screwed. The first 3 seasons expertly juggled these, and this one felt like it had been split into quarters, like Moya in Through the Looking Glass. Peacekeeper Wars is very sober, somewhat conventional, so this is like a bridge between the two. The thing I liked most about this finale was the goodbye scene with Jack and John. Those two really brought the goods in spite of not sharing a stage together. Kent looks genuinely odd to have sired John Crichton, which was a good way to play it. Good use of Pilot in the shuttle pod. He's mostly a reactive character. The actor has earned a chance to get out of the den and do something proactive. Regarding Chiana, it's interesting how she was given time slowing abilities. They originally wrote Chaos Control and then crossed that out. I like saw a little Shadow the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog reference. My guess is they were planning some synchronized fights with Sokozu performing some Crouching Tiger and Chiana imitating Carrie Ann Moss. At least that's my impression from their brief fight scenes in Peacekeeper Wars. For some reason, Gigi really stepped up her game in the final inning. Oddly, being blind made her a much more physical actor. That makes a lot of sense. You kind of can't rely as an actor on your looks, and the looks as in the way that you look at people as much. You're going to have to act based on the way you move and react to things. I'm kind of rambling. Scorpius, while I liked John shutting off the wormhole in preparation for war, the route to get there was circuitous. Sir Corpius was his constant presence on the ship made Harvey a little bit redundant. He ends up going AWOL in the movie, so for now he's just sort of running in place. The ending is OTT, I'm not sure what that stands for, and cruel for its time, but looking back, it was in character. Farscape doesn't do well when it gets syrupy or cynical. It tends to strike an uneasy balance, which is comfortable, yet satisfying. Thank you, Johnny. Short comment from Maridi, saying they took a break since May from anything internet and just started catching up, and they're happy to see that we made it through the show. Thank you, Maridi, we missed you. Trelanis, Matthew, from our La Bamba episode, says, I wish you guys had been around when this episode aired. Your insights into why it's a fitting ending would have been a big help. I have to say, if we didn't get Peacekeeper Wars, Rigel's comment on Crichton's proposal is just so perfectly Rigel and a great final line for him. Leo Chris, what's good, Hugo? I love that we've had like a bunch of the Reddit commenters on our show before. This is so cool. Honestly, I like your take on the finale, and I do feel that could have been great if the writers had intended for it to be the end. For me, this is the clincher. When analyzing a piece of media, some people, rightly or wrongly, say that authorial intent shouldn't be considered, but in this case, I think it does matter. I understand they were stuck, they had very few options, but to me, the fact that they stuck to their guns and added the to be continued is proof that the ending wasn't intended the way it was. Some shows have ended that way on their own terms, and I think that's the frustrating part. Not that the ending of this one was an unhappy one, not that it left the viewers wanting more, but that prior to Peacekeeper Wars, the writers didn't get to finish telling the story they set out to tell. The opportunity to do so was swept from under their feet. It's one thing to have little sympathy for the showrunners of a low-rated show who nonetheless chose to go forward with a cliffhanger instead of wrapping things up, but it's another in cases where the network goes back on a pre-existing multi-seasons deal. I don't know, like I said, it was great insight, and I never thought about the ending that way, but having been a part of the fandom at the time, all I remember is the anger, the frustration, and I think my overall reaction to the last scene would be vastly different if it had always been intended as a ballsy ending. That is the short and long of what we're getting at with our bad timing, kind of, or what we were getting at with our bad timing discussion. Finally, a big comment from Blue Blaze Spear. I'm blue. Saying how part of what made the ending palatable to him was that John and Aaron were not scared. They didn't seem resigned to their fate, but they were also okay with it. And this is what the show's creators had in common. They didn't flinch. The show's creators and the characters had in common. They didn't flinch when presented with their fates. They soldiered on in the truest way they know how, which is a really beautiful sentiment. I was at ground zero of the Save Farscape campaign that followed, and it was one of those first moments of, oh, this is what the internet can do. The first salvo was the Crackers Do Matter campaign, where people sent loads of crackers to the Sci-Fi Channel. That's awesome. And while the show had decent numbers, a thing that had been hurting it was the fact that it had done so well with women, and they carried so many of the numbers. While most people would think this is a good thing, including the president of Sci-Fi, Bonnie Hammer, the suits are always in pursuit of the male 18 to 36 demographic, which was not carrying the show. The female viewership, who rightly wondered why their numbers didn't count, began sending bras to the Sci-Fi Channel. If I could remember correctly, the channel donated them to a women's homeless shelter. That's amazing. That's... God, this is, we're part of the coolest community of nerds in the whole world. We had metaphorical boots on the ground and were consistent in voicing to everyone who would listen and a few who wouldn't. We just kept at it. We weren't using our legwork to drill wells in Africa, but it was something we believed in and could get behind. So imagine our relish when we learned that, in part from our efforts, there would be a miniseries to more adequately wrap up the series. And years later, like everyone else, I had to buy the series box set separately from the miniseries box set. Such amazing comments. I had always heard about the whole female viewership thing with Farscape, and it makes a lot of sense considering how cool all of the ladies on the show are and how, you know, how they're good characters and, you know, they're characters to look up to in a lot of ways. But that's really interesting. That makes a lot of sense, especially considering where TV was at the time that the show was happening. And I also really love that point from multiple people about how the show creators and the characters both had to sort of deal with inevitability in a really kind of accidentally profound way. But yeah, this is gonna be one of the last. Every time I do a thing now in this show, it feels like one of the last ones we're gonna do. And it is, you know, we have two Peacekeeper Wars episodes, and we have a series recap, and then that's kind of it for now. So I just want to say thank you all for listening more than ever. I know I say it every week, but I really do mean it. And we are sorry for the 2 week break since the last episode. We're going to have the next couple hopefully going up on time. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And yeah, we're not done yet, folks. So stay tuned and enjoy the second half of our season 4 recap.
And we're back.
Magellan, you fixed your mic.
Yes.
John, sing me a beautiful song about Farscape on this
sing
now fixed mic.
Sing a song, your Farscape. You are a TV show. We watch you on the TV and not on the radio. Farscape. Boo doo doo doo. Farscape.
This is why people think we're drunk whenever we record. This is the stuff that gives them that ammo to say that. No, we're back, and we're here to talk about the good stuff. Better audio means better episodes. we're going to now jump into the highlights. Each of us picked two
highlights.
Of these.
Highlights. Don't only wanna, oh, to be highlights.
Every time we do this, I say, I'm going to put the clip of that from the song in here, and then I choose not to because it's funnier to hear you try and do it.
Thank you highlights by Kanye for West. Condescending. Okay, we're doing the highlights.
Yes.
Why don't you start us off there, boy?
Boy, that's me. I'm going to start off by talking about season 4, episode 18. It's Prayer, folks. It's the Aaron Sun pregnancy episode. It's a Justin Mondra special. It's very sad. It's this season's what was that really bad one from season 3? Oh, it's like, well, also one word. Aaron Sun's episodes tend to always be one word, like just like promises or prayer, even though promises wasn't her, or you know what I mean. And they're always just like, yeah, that theme for the whole episode. Prayer concerns Aaron Sun being on the base on the way to Katratzi, and it entirely focuses on her until the very last couple moments where it cuts back to Moya. Really intense episode. This was also the episode, just as a sort of Scape Chats fun fact, that we both chose to watch incidentally when we started the show. Instead, we're going to watch a couple frames of something from season four just to kind of whet the appetite and have something to come back to and remember. Both of us got our moments from Prayer. I thought it was really intense and some of the best acting that Claudia Black has ever done. So that's, you know, my whole spiel.
Yeah, I thought it was also a really strong Aaron's Son episode, given how little of her we got in season four. I think that that piece, which we already sort of talked about, but that perspective on season four makes it hard for me to fully appreciate an episode like this.
Yeah, it's like, took you long enough.
That right, kind of exactly. Thing. It took you long enough.
But it is very good for what it is. There's some really dark stuff with the pregnancy and the other prisoner and the abortion and all of that stuff with the Skarens. We learned a lot about the Skarens, which is also pretty neat. And I don't know, I feel like Aaron's son was used in this point kind of as just like a plot point to motivate John to go rescue her. Where it's like, the son is just there so that we have a pregnancy plot and so that the bad guys have a reason to capture the girl.
Yeah.
But it's used effectively. Like, I'm not, again, this is a highlight. I'm not trying to poo-poo this. I'm just saying, like, I have a special magical baby in me, like, is kind of a trope. Yep. But again, they do it really well. And this episode absolutely carried by the acting skills of Miss Claudia Black. But moving on.
My first highlight is episode 21 of season 4, We're So Screwed, part 3. La Bomba. La Bomba. In case you can't tell by the title, it's the one where the bomb blows up.
He's got a bomb!
Really fun. I mean, this whole trilogy, well, not the whole trilogy, the first episode of the three was not great. But parts 2 and 3 are phenomenal. Really, really fun. We're going to talk about part two later. Spoiler alert. But part three, it's a highlight and not an essential, just because it's just very action heavy, really. That's the only big thing. And it's kind of about, like, we've done all this setup in part two, now we're gonna pay it off and have some fun, like setting off a nuclear bomb in a drill elevator shaft. Like,
lots of focus on that elevator. Gotta love that elevator.
Yes, ton of elevator time. Great to see Scorpius's plan, like his kind of plan B involving the flowers, come to light. To see Stark reemerge in his sort of like kind of unceremonious way. Some levity. Sokozu gets a really cool moment. It's a fun. It's fun. I don't really have a better adjective, I think, than that. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the big explosive, literally, send off for Farscape that it needed. It feels like a very fitting last hurrah of an episode. Because as we've said before, like, this show always does its second to last episodes are like the big multi-part action explosive, we're gonna blow something up this week kind of thing. And then the final one is the very quiet, like, hey, let's talk about
the epilogue. Some space stuff.
Yeah. exactly. And moving along to another very fun episode, I want to talk about season 4, episode 7. It's John Quixote.
Yeah.
What a strange episode. What an episode that I was prepared to love, then was immediately kind of disappointed by, but then it wrapped up in a way that I absolutely super duper loved.
Yep.
Like, it really, and this is kind of why I didn't put in essential. Also, it, like, plot-wise isn't that essential. Talking about fun, like, the moment where they go up to the princess's room and isn't it, like, Lani Tupu is the ogre and Aaron's and Claudia Black is, like, the Southern Belle, Aaron's son. Like, ugh, just so much cool visual nods to, like, Terry Gilliam and the Monty Python stuff. And we get to see Chiana and John have an episode together, which is a really fun, engaging combo that we don't really see much. And we learn about their relationship. We learn about John's, what's his whole, like, what's going on in his head. Yeah. And then weirdly, you know, as I talked about, the stuff that gets really good by the end of this episode is we remember Stark. We get, like, good Stark development right at this final lap.
Well, it's amazing. We get major character development for two characters, one of whom left the show last season and one of whom died.
Right.
And we get like some...
For Zahn as well, you mean?
Yeah. And we get some important character moments for both of them as a way of developing John's character. I think it's just a testament to Farscape's enduring commitment to developing and honoring its characters above all else.
And it can create a story around character development instead of creating character development within a story, which is always the kind of thing that leads to really interesting, weird episodes like this one. Because it's like we're playing a game, but also Zahn is in there, and it does the thing that Farscape does a lot, which is kind of why we put it in our highlights, which is that it takes characters you know and makes them weird, be it through the way that they're visualized, like Fat Zahn, or the characters and the way that they dress and the ogre version of Krace and all that stuff. But it takes that stuff and it does, I don't know, it moves really well. It's like a fun little adventure, and it's the kind of thing that made season four still feel fun, even in its like not big plot moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, just because we didn't have progression of the Skaren and Peacekeeper plot and the John stuff doesn't mean that we don't get a cool little bizarro adventure. And it's, it was like uplifting after the early rough goings of season four, I think.
Now, closing out our highlight section is my second highlight, which is episode 13, Terra Firma. Terra Firma is the episode following Kansas, where the alien crew of Moya comes to Earth, present-day Earth, for the first time. They're in past Earth, but now it's first time in the present.
Yes.
Yes. Just wanted to be clear about my semantics. Anyway, they meet up with Dad. Hey, Dad. Hi, Dad.
Jack Crichton.
And they set off a geopolitical crisis of sorts, which is very
cool. Regarding whether or not it was a bass or a trout, in fact. That's actually the whole conflict of the episode. Yeah. They don't really answer it by the end. It's left up to the viewer. Yeah,
the UN is just tied up trying to figure out what the question is even asking, which is sort of tough. Anyway, so this episode's really great because it deftly ties Farscape to the issues that were going on at the time of the episode's production in a way that I found really impressive. Because it's not like they set out in 1999? Is that when the show started?
Yes,
it's not
1990,
like
It's
not like they set out in 1999 to make a show about globalism, right?
Right.
But, or about... terror or, insulation, fear, whatever. It's not really like they set out to make that sort of episode or that sort of show because, 9/11 hadn't happened yet. But they make this move in this episode where it's like, oh, John, you haven't been around. This thing called 9/11 happened and it's changed everything. And in that move, they make the case for why Farscape is a really important show to sort of pick apart and understand.
It's the fact that it takes place here and in this time, it's one of those things where, like, when you watch sci-fi, oftentimes the story, although it's talking about, like, in general what our world is about, they don't want to get too particular or, like, bring up something too current. Like, if you brought up, like, the 2016 election in your sci-fi show, that'd be really weird and dated. Like, that would get old very quickly. But they are able to bring up topics like xenophobia and what happened. They basically straight up name drop 9/11, and they're able to say that stuff in a way that doesn't feel awkward or outdated. It feels very prescient, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're saying things about it and not just name dropping it.
Yeah, because it's not shoehorned in, and it's not necessarily a moralistic tale about xenophobia. I mean, it deals with xenophobia, but all this episode is really saying is, hey, when we did A Human Reaction, that was sort of our thesis on like the issues that extraterrestrials would have if they visited Earth. We'd be like weird and suspicious and like pick them apart and stuff. That'd be bad.
Right.
And then this episode is saying, okay, so maybe you didn't really believe that, or you thought that maybe John Crichton could like convince people not to do experiments on these aliens. Cool. Still, there are these global political ramifications, these huge social ramifications to extraterrestrial visitation that need to be reckoned with. And by the way, we can't talk about this without talking about the way that the world is right now, the current international climate of the world. So it feels very natural and almost urgent to be talking about present day issues. Because the alternative is you make a sci-fi show where aliens visit and the Americans are like, hey, what's up? We love people from outside of here. Yeah. Which is just not true of the time or of kind of not true of our time right now.
Totally. And I honestly, I more than anything, I just really hope that we haven't gotten away from this type of episode, because a lot of shows worry about becoming the, like, on a very special episode of Farscape kind of thing.
Right.
Because we totally need this kind of episode in a world of today. Yeah. And that's why, like we talked about at the beginning, this show in general is super relevant and super needed in a time like now. So I don't know, when is 2016 going to give us our Farscape, right?
That's a good question. I mean, the other great thing about this episode is that it makes sure that debate is, on the one hand, a backdrop to the plot lines of Aaron and Chiana and Dargo and all these other people from Moya who are hanging out on Earth now. It's sort of looming over them. And it looms a little bit over the Aaron-John love story, where she's kind of flitting around trying to figure out, does he like me, does he not? But the other fantastic move that this episode makes is to take this debate of xenophobia or of America first in space and not just make it this abstract thing, but ground it, humanize it in the relationship of John and his father. So, like, now we can actually see and feel the stakes of this debate embodied in these two characters, which I think is probably the most important part. Like, it's one thing to introduce this idea, but it's another thing to make it vital to how these two characters interact.
I think I didn't really consider the John and his dad thing until now, but yeah, that whole theme kind of wraps up real nicely in Bad Timing, in the scene where John says goodbye to his father.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Bad Timing, obviously, but it's, yeah, this episode tackles so much stuff and does it really well and handles it with a very delicate touch that I think is great.
Yeah, and then the only bad thing is there's like a shadow beast and it kills DK.
And his wife.
Yeah, it just guts him in a parking garage. And you're like,
and then no one talks about him again.
Okay.
Yeah, there's reasons we didn't put it in the essential. Also, I don't think that you need to watch this episode to understand the season. I think you need to understand it to understand big ideas of the show. But
sure,
ultimately, yeah, these categories are just, you know, they're arbitrary. Yeah, I think that, yeah. I kind of want to have a conversation at some point about, like, why we chose to watch Farscape. And also, if you think that there is something to be said about, like, we looked around for shows that are modern that satisfy this urge for, like, intelligent, reflective sci-fi. And we didn't find enough. And so we went back to the 90s, the late 90s, and found this beautiful gem. But that's a conversation for... well, the series recap, if you will. let's move on to our final category. Pew, 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 pew. These are the four essential episodes of season four of Farscape. You cannot skip any of these episodes.
No, you
cannot. We would prefer if you didn't. That would make us really sad if you skipped them.
please don't.
Yes. And I'm going to start with the first one, and we can just go back and forth if that's okay with you, Senor.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, beautiful. First up is season 4, episode 11, Unrealized Reality. Now, the reason that I, we decided to put this one in an absolutely essential episode is, A, the Ancients are, like, the best thing about Farscape. They're so interesting. They have so many cool things to tell John and to give John food for thought. Uh-huh. And also their story and the introduction of the concept of unrealized realities has ripples through the rest of the show and presumably into Peacekeeper Wars. Like, this is a concept that's introduced in the middle of the last season of your show that manages to have repercussions for the whole thing till the very last minute. Like, we only learn about Katrazi because of this, and we only learn about the alternate universe characters because of this. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of an unrealized reality, which, for people who don't know, you should have watched the episode, but it's these ideas, these universes created by wormholes That are basically, it's a very scientific and almost literal version of multiverse theory, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that there are certain people out there, John Crichton in particular, who have the ability to go through the wormholes that let them pass through different realized and unrealized realities. So a lot of the episode spends its time like with Einstein the Ancient sitting with John on a floating ice rock in the middle of a wormhole universe, explaining that to him. And very similar to a human reaction, he kind of wraps it up and says, hey, now that you know everything that's in here, now that you've seen, for example, the unrealized reality where all of your friends are alive and they're different, they're in different actors. You know, again, Farscape characters love to play other people and be put into different roles. They're, you know, Stark and Sokozy are mixed and Dargo and Jewel are mixed. Now that you've seen all of that, how do you plan to use this stuff? And we get this amazing, amazing moment out of John where he's absolutely terrified of this power. And Einstein tells him that is exactly what we wanted to hear.
Yep.
I didn't want to hear you be cool, big guy, sci-fi protagonist. And tell me, like, I got this. This is going to be easy. I'm going to beat the bad guys and get home. John says, no, please. Like, this is a lot for me to handle. And I don't want to mess anything up. And they're like, oh, thank God. Yes. Yes. John gets it. He's in the right position. And he can go on and use this power well. Whereas a lot of other people
wouldn't. Yeah, this is a great episode to humble John. I mean, there are plenty instances where John is like beaten down by things throughout the show. Oh, yeah, but sure. this is really a great episode to look at and say, like, he has kind of been in a position of harnessing or slowly learning to master wormholes more and more, and the clone who died had the moment of like, whoa, this is a lot to handle, and had this kind of noble moment where he willingly irradiated himself. So that side of John has had an arc with wormholes that has humbled him, but now this John is getting something that sort of does the same thing. And it's really great to have a protagonist who recognizes the danger of things and is scared of things, because it's a very human set of qualities to have. The other thing that I loved about this episode was just the style of it, the pacing and the different elements that were interwoven. So the scenes in the alternate realities, talking to Einstein, the little documentary clips of people talking about John Crichton in different ways. It made for a very snappy episode, and an episode that had a big informational burden to carry, and carried it rather deftly.
It's definitely one of the best paced episodes of Farscape. That's for sure.
It's intricate.
Yeah. And I mean, that fits the theme of it. The whole, like, there's a bunch of different realities. And so we have a bunch of different ideas being thrown at the screen, and they all kind of work, which is good.
Our next essential episode is called Constellation of Doubt. And it was episode 17 of season 4. Constellation of Doubt, it sort of brings back the documentary clip style of Unrealized Reality and just goes whole hog with it, makes an actual documentary episode. The framing device being that John is watching a tape of a show on Earth that documents the visitation of aliens to the planet. And I love this episode. I think it's fantastic. It's just a really cool concept. It takes its time, again, focusing on every character one at a time and looking at how do people on Earth interpret this character? How does that match up to our interpretation of this character? And then, therefore, what new ways of thinking about Chiana or Dargo or whoever else do we have? So it's meditative, it's thorough, it's funny and light at times, and it's also frightening, depressing. It just covers such a wide range of responses as an audience member. So I really, really adore this episode.
I definitely agree that about the whole, like, it is very, it's a lot of different things. It made me feel a lot of different emotions throughout. I just, first of all, love that the way that this plot happens is Moya intercepted a VHS from space from another wormhole. Like, Farscape is so good about getting you right. We talk about this constantly. Like, it's good about getting you right into what you want to see in the episode and not beating around the bush or explaining the concepts behind anything too much. I was just recently thinking about the Mass Effect series again, which I bring up frequently on the show. But I specifically thinking about the third and final one and how frustrating the ending of that game is without kind of getting into spoilers. But the Mass Effect series kind of like burrows down right into the universal origin stuff that it hinted at early on and we didn't actually need to hear about. Mm-hmm. And just kind of sits in it. And it just kind of says, like, what if we had control of how the universe reset itself? And you're like, oh, God, this is... It's too much. And they handle it really poorly. And it's the reason why a lot of people dislike Mass Effect 3. But quite the contrary, A Constellation of Doubt is not about figuring out anything about the Farscape universe. It's about explaining what happened since they visited Earth in Terra Firma. And showing how humans viewed them. And I think the best thing that A Constellation of Doubt does is it doesn't give the humans a universal opinion, because then that would be a really dull full episode of people being like, aliens are terrible and we're afraid of them and they're all monsters. There's plenty of that and it's handled well. It doesn't make it the people who say it seem that terrible, except for the conspiracy theory guy from the 80s or whatever, but that's, you know, one amongst like 15. But there are also characters mixed in there who absolutely believe in the power of believing in people who are different, you know, like, and, yeah. and trusting others. Like there's those scientists who say like, wow, they see us in a way that we dream of seeing ourselves, and they have knowledge that we could dream of having. Like there's so much hope in those moments of A Constellation of Doubt that I absolutely love. Because it, you know, we are going to talk about the ending very soon, I promise, but this show occasionally dips into cynicism, but it mostly is a very like cautionary tale with a hopeful ending. Yeah, I think. Definitely. Well, not ending, but with a hopeful sort of message.
Definitely.
Next one. Our penultimate essential episode of season 4 is season 4, episode 20. We're So Screwed, part 2, Hot to Katratzi. This episode is way meatier than either parts 1 or 3, because part 3 is all action. Part 1 is all boring. Part 2 is this really delicious, creamy Oreo center in the middle of a really fun trilogy where we get everything we want to see. This is the episode where they stage a coup on actual Katratzi. And that is so interesting that they take the idea of Farscape as a show about communication, mm-hmm. and the characters use that to make things happen, to make big things happen. Like, we're on the ship where, or, you know, the base of, like, the main bad guys. And the way that they get off, or the way that they almost get off before things go poop up, is they talk to people and learn about different races' cultures and go, hey, your race doesn't seem to like this other one, and make them fight each other. Yeah. Because they have this realization that just races in general, alien or human or whatever, are naturally combative and naturally have races that they're predatory to, or have, like, a predator-prey relationship to, I guess. And I just find that stuff so fascinating. I feel like this episode is a microcosm for what so much of the show is about, where it's like, we didn't have to make anyone fight because everybody already wanted to fight each other. And yeah, it's all of that. Everybody gets their own little moments. You get Dargo at the bar talking to the like cool pirate aliens. You got John jumping on the table with his I'm an American speech in the beginning. And you get him and Aaron in the elevator doing the ballroom dancing. There's just it's an episode chock full of moments. I can't even tell you. I love
Yeah, the wonderful thing about it is that it, whereas, like you said, part one is boring. It's just a lot of, like, plottiness that doesn't make sense or matter. And then part three is payoff and action. Part two is interaction, right? That's what we're really living for when we watch the show, is that meaty interplay between the characters and between lots of different characters in lots of different ways. And this episode, wall to wall, is pretty much just that. It's almost all talking. It's John making this bold move, strapping a nuclear bomb to himself that's tied to his emotional state. There you go. That's like hugely symbolic of the whole show and his volatility, his emotional volatility, right? And he's talking to these Scaran higher ups. The Scarans interact with the peacekeepers. John interacts with Graeza. You got Bracca in the mix, of course. Scorpius getting tortured, and he has like different interactions with the female Skaren leader and the male Skaren leader, and Dargo is hanging out with Rigel. Sokozu's kind of getting like a little side love story, weirdly. It's just, there's a lot of like rich character moments throughout this whole episode that makes it tense and exciting without anybody having to fire a shot at each other until they start firing shots at each other.
The crew doesn't fire many shots. Yeah. Other people do, definitely. Also, just still, one of my favorite comedic moments of the whole show is Dargo carrying, or hand-holding with Sokozu, and then just being like, "Can you take this trowel? Punch. How about this one? Punch." Just doing that joke three times in a row. Comedic timing, everyone. It's something that shows need. It's good. Also, Jenix armor is the sweetest. So, this episode gets an A+ from us here at Scape Chats.
Yeah.
Here's the big one, Magellan.
Yeah, the final essential is also the final episode of this TV show. Season 4, episode 22, Bad Timing. We just did a whole episode on bad timing. It did come out like 2 weeks ago, so maybe you've forgotten a little bit about it, unless you're a future person who's listening to all the episodes in a row. That's definitely a thing that could be happening. Many things could be happening.
Rock on, shout out to you.
Rock on, shout out, beautiful thing. Anyway, bad timing. Here's the gist. Everything wraps up perfectly, beautifully. Everybody's happy, then they die. Farscape.
To be continued. Maybe. It's, ugh. I just, that ending is so good. I love that people hate it. I love that this show has become defined in so much of the fan base by its ending and the circumstances of the ending. But I just, we really, when we got down to it in our discussion, it kind of works as this sort of like point about how hopeless their lives are on the show and how endlessly they fall into this cycle of, we're almost there, we almost have what we want, we know what we want now, we're adults, we're grown up, and it's taken away from us. And this time they made it permanent, theoretically.
But that's not, but I think it's not hopeless at all because of the image of the ring in the ashes. Like that's hope, that's what it's about. And that's kind of what we uncover in A Constellation of Doubt, that there are these difficulties and fears around striving to be together, to be unified, right? So you can think of Aaron and John's relationship as microcosmic of this idea of working with other peoples, finding unity with extraterrestrials, finding unity with people from other nations, whatever it is. There's going to be pain involved. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be times when it feels like it's not going to work or it shouldn't work. And ultimately, those efforts may be undone by some freak accident, but it's still worth trying. And if you put your heart and soul into it, it's going to be worth remembering. And I think that that's really beautiful and very hopeful as well.
There's also a lot of meaning to that final symbol of the ring on the ashes, of this sort of like circle of love persisting amongst troubles. And how worth it, like you said, how worth it it is. I think I more mentioned hopeless just in that it is just, for these characters, such a cycle of almost success.
True.
You know? But then to have them be obliterated by the perfect choice of having it just be randomness. It is not the things that we fear the most that kill us. It is not the diseases or the villains or the big bads or the giant lasers. It's some random space dude with a cool transforming face who, for whatever reason, has a mission to kill Aaron and John and totally succeeds. Whoops, we were vulnerable for a second and we both died. That is that is so much a point about how things happen in life and also just how this show progressed for its good and bad moments. It always came back to this relationship, and to really focus on the relationship, how much it's telling us as a show, like, hey, love is worth it in the end. And at the end, you know, we're gonna get to the day where we both get to sit on a boat and be with someone who we love, if it's not each other, and we're gonna get to live in that moment finally.
Yeah.
And it's worth fighting for that moment, even if it ends with you getting obliterated, because your love
and your best friend screaming and crying.
Ugh, yeah. It's powerful. And this is, you know, it's an amazing episode beyond that ending. You know, we have this whole race between the Skarens and Moya. We have Pilot being separated from Moya, a huge moment for the series that we didn't, you know, we did touch on during the episode, but it's just so big. And we get amazing send-offs for Bracca, Scorpius, and Sokozu.
Yep. Yes, we do.
And then we get that incredible conversation between John and his father, where John's on the moon. This episode does so much for redeeming the show in my mind that it really makes up for so much of the negativity and the bad stuff and the boring stuff that was a lot of the early goings and the rough goings. But yeah, man, it's definitely worth it at the end of the definitely day. And I think it was worth discussing. But hey, folks who are sad about bad timing and wish that there was more, there is more Farscape. Whoa. Out there. There's like more canonical, versions of these characters and depictions of these characters are in the time that the show came out. Just a few years later, they put out a miniseries called Farscape: The Peacekeeper Wars. Magellan, it's real.
It's real.
It's so real. And we haven't watched it yet. And I'm really excited.
Me too, man.
So before we talk about how we're going to cover that for the show, I think it would be fun if we, like we did with every other season recap, attempt to predict what's going to happen in Farscape: The Peacekeeper Wars.
Let's do it. It's
the last time we can really do this.
We have some prepared statements. They're sort of our vows, I guess. You can think of it as being as important as wedding vows.
Yeah, absolutely. And also appropriate for the ending, wedding vows, yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Would you like to go first?
Sure, mine's pretty brief. This is going to be our bingo board also when we're watching Peacekeeper Wars. We're going to see who wins. For mine, it's just basically a bunch of people are going to get cool new hairstyles. I feel like that's always a thing when you go from like the show to the movie. Someone's like, I got an updo.
There's like a little more money.
Yeah, yeah, not a lot more money, but like enough money. We get some honest to goodness big scale nonsense, which in my head, that's what Peacekeeper Wars is. It's a lot of fighting. It's probably not. It's actually probably still just a lot of talking, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote here, Aaron and John definitely don't come back. They stay dead forever. I'm 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that they're going to come back in the first minute of Peacekeeper Wars completely fine and resurrected because those Dippin' Dots are going to fall into the ocean and they're never going to come back. That's it. And then finally, we're going to have a big character death. We're going to have like one of my favorite little boys or girls is just going to explode in a really amazing blaze of glory because that's how these movie things tend to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to cry and y'all are going to hear me cry. Well, it's going to be great.
Before I read my prediction, I just thought of this. What are the odds that Peacekeeper Wars just starts with like, a tilted shot of John Crichton shouting over his shoulder, "Pilot!"
What if?
Like, pilot? What if that, like, and it's just there's beeping and stuff, and that it's like, okay, here we are.
And Pilot's like scrambling, like arms everywhere, and then Dargo's like, man the shields! Like, they're just immediately in it, and you're like, oh, I love this. This is good.
Like, that's probably what's going to happen, right?
I would love it. I really, anything this show is going to do with the Peacekeeper Wars, I'm excited for. There's no way that could go wrong.
Here's my prediction paragraph. Not all of it is necessarily truthfully a prediction. Okay. John is totally alive and has two beards. He's living in the woods on Earth. Donald Trump, the actor, is president of the United States.
What?
Dargo gives an impassioned speech on the Senate floor, representing the great state of New Mexico. He wears a crisp blue suit with his tentacles tied back in a sharp man bun. He speaks out on behalf of extraterrestrial rights, but faces a trenchant neoconservative opposition. He's cut off by the southern drawl of Senator Landers from Louisiana, who's having none of this. Stark is dead. Pilot runs a food truck that sells various popcorns. Naranti, for the sake of simplicity, is also dead.
Aww.
As for Chiana, Rigel, and Sokozu, they host a food review podcast called Scape Chats.
Huh.
Aaron comes back to life by bursting out of the Scaran Emperor's chest and winking right into camera. She punctuates her return with one simple phrase, quote, "Let's boogie." Escaping from the ensuing intergalactic crossfire, Scorpius and Bracca raise the baby together and name it Mandy after Bracca's mother, Mandy.
I loved reading you cite that live and then going and name it Mandy after his mother, Mandy. It's so good.
Seriously, who the hell knows?
A lot could happen.
This is honestly the moment where I feel like I, like the other seasons, I'd kind of heard some stuff. I mean, I know some stuff about Peacekeeper Wars, but I feel like in the other seasons I could make predictions that felt somewhat accurate, or like I kind of knew the threads that were going to be continuing. With this movie, I honestly don't know.
That's, I agree 100%. I don't know how I've gone this long and not learned anything about it. except for one probably spoiler that I guessed, which we'll talk about. It's completely uncharted territory. And a lot of the show was for me, but because I made an effort to not get spoiled about stuff. Also, if you're listening, this is your, don't spoil stuff. This is our last chance to watch a thing and have it be new and not. So don't ruin it for us. Y'all have been very good about that so far. I'm just saying. Next week on Scape Chats, we're going to be watching the first half of Farscape the Peacekeeper Wars. We're going to be doing it in a very special way, though. We've mentioned before that we want to cover Peacekeeper Wars in a different way than we do the show, and I am going to miss the fun way that we covered the show. We're going to do a regular episode on it, and we're going to do a regular episode on part two, but we also want you to join us on our very first viewing of Peacekeeper Wars. So the way we're going to do that is, along with the regular episode, in the same audio track, we're going to be including a live commentary from the two of us over both parts of Peacekeeper Wars.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to have instructions for syncing up with us. It's going to have some laughs, some sads. It's going to be like you're sitting in the room with us watching on the television. We're going to hang out in person.
Yeah.
We're going to watch. Yeah. It's going to be sweet as heck. And so for next week, you're watching the first half. That's the first hour and a half of Peacekeeper Wars. I know a lot of versions of that miniseries like don't have it split, have it as like one long thing. So first hour and a half, the last scene is like something that, like, Rigel's on like a hospital bed or something, and you're like, oh, he's probably fine. If you want to know, and you'll know where to cut off when you watch with us. So that's gonna be the first half, and then in the second half of the podcast, we're going to be doing our regular discussion of each half.
Yeah. So, and we'll timestamp the different pieces,
right? So if you don't want to listen to our commentary track because you don't like listening to us, then poop on you. But also, you get to hear us talk in the second half just about the thing, about the Peacekeeper Wars. It's gonna be very exciting, folks. And you know, before we go into plugs, I really just want to quickly again shout out all of the guests that we had, particularly for season four. Old as Your Omens, yet again returning for a great discussion of Prayer. Matthew with Worse of Screwed La Bamba and his beautiful cover of La Bamba that we included in that episode. And Brian back in season three, and Hugo, y'all are all the best. And we're so happy that you joined us for this.
Yeah.
And also, if you were sad that you didn't get to guest on an episode of Scape Chats, you still have a chance. You still have a couple weeks to send us an audio clip of your thoughts on Farscape in general. What did you love? What did you hate? Favorite moments, least favorite? Just talk about Farscape into a microphone. Send it to us as like an MP3 and send it to scapechats@gmail.com. We've already gotten a couple, and they're very good. And we want you to be a part of the series recap with us, which will be in three episodes from now. So definitely do that. Even if you don't usually do this kind of like talking thing, it's pretty fun. And yeah, I think that now it's just time for us to get into plugs real quick.
Just one other thing on the series recap. If you have ideas for specific talking points or questions that you want us to jaw over, you can feel free to post those in the Reddit thread for this week, or email them to us, whatever you want to do. Just so we can kind of have like a rich set of talking points for that series recap. Because I think we'll probably hit the things of like favorite character moments, or like what is our top 10 watch list kind of thing. But if there are specific themes from the show, or recurring tropes, or unanswered questions, whatever it is, if you want to share those with us and we can kind of talk about them, basically it's our last chance to talk about Farscape the show in any sort of substantial way under the guise of Scape Chats.
Until they release a new thing, if they release a new thing. Right. So it is technically it's the theoretical last episode of Scape Chats. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. So moving right along, it's time for plugs.
Whoa.
You can email Scape Chats over at scapechats@gmail.com. We love receiving your emails, your audio clips, everything goes over there. We also have a Twitter account @ScapeChats, where we have a fun little community of people that keep adding us. And the like, Gigi Edgley replied to us in a tweet recently, and
whoa,
that was wacky. Yeah, it's really bananas over there. And Anthony Simcoe like faved a tweet of ours. It's great. I love it. You can do that. You can post in our Reddit threads over at reddit.com/r/farscape. Great community over there. Great crew of lovely people. Always hitting us with their great thoughts and very interesting interpretations. I'm gonna miss those people a lot when we don't, like, if we ever do another show, like, is that, are we gonna have another subreddit, or can we just keep putting stuff on the Farscape subreddit when we're talking about, like, Friends? We're probably not gonna do Friends back. But I digress. Nothing is out of the picture until it is. Also, you can follow us personally. Oh, escapechats@tumblr.com is also great. That's a good place to follow us. Magellan can be found over at Twitter at Just a Fluke, spelled JustaFluke.
Mm-hmm. And Alan can be found over at twitter.com/AlanIbrahim, which is AlanIb. You know the cadence of your own name better. AlanIbrahim.
Fantastic. I'm getting emotional, Magellan. I don't want to stop doing this. This is too good.
Hey, we still got 3 weeks left.
Ah, yeah, we'll get
there.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Also, fun little thing, the way this works out, because we're on Sundays now, is that the part two of Peacekeeper Wars comes out on Christmas, and the series recap comes out on New Year's Day.
Whoa, ring in 2017 with us talking about the whole show. Meow, 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 meow. John, this is the last time I'm going to say this. Because it's a recap, right? Can I still say it now?
Yeah.
Or does that not count? Yeah, okay, I'm going to say it. This has been Scape Chats, Finding Our Way Home.